Why don't we welcome Carl?
It's always best to clap before I say anything, I think.
It is, yeah. Let me just pray with you, Colm. Father, we give you thanks for brothers and sisters in Christ across this city who are seeking to lift up your name. And we just pray for Carl as he comes to us now, representing all of the brothers and sisters of NBC as he does. And Lord, bringing your word to us, we ask that we will have ear space for what he says and heart space to make room for you and to act, to be changed, not only to learn, but to be changed by the things he brings to us today. Bless his family and bless the church at Morningside. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Colm.
Bless you. We're on? Okay. It's an honor to be here and a privilege to be able to minister God's word. If you've got a Bible, would you turn with me to Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 47. And we're going to take a look at the River of Life. And we'll get there in just a moment. But let me tell you about my kids. When I was a little bit younger than I am now, my kids were a little bit smaller. I'd come home from church. I was the pastor of a church in Leeds. And I'd come home from church in Leeds, and the kids would say, "Come in, Dad, we're playing church." And I'd go, "Great." You know, I've just let, normal kids, cops and robbers, cowboys and Indians, or whatever you play. My kids play church. Okay, so I come into the house and they greet me on the door with a handshake. What's that about? And then they give me a book as I come in through the door, and then we sing songs, and Kezia would say, "I'll be Dad," and then they take up the collection. It's very interesting that. I'm the only one with any money, and I never see it again. And then Lydia, who's the oldest and certainly the wisest, she'd stand on a chair like this, and she would open her Bible like this, and she'd stroke it. And she said, "I'll be Dad. I'll preach. Blah, 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 blah." Here's the thing. I've pastored two churches, and I've preached at many, many churches, and this may just be my experience, but I see too many churches and too many Christians who play at church, who understand fundamentally, because they've been around church long enough to be dangerous, what church is actually all about. But week in, week out, day in, day out, moment in, moment out, they play at being church. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be the hands, eyes, ears, and mouthpiece of Jesus. We're supposed to do the things, and even greater things, that Jesus did. We are commissioned by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be salt and light, to transform the world around us, because we've been transformed by the Holy Spirit in us. And we play at being church. Let's read this passage of Scripture. The context of this is a whole bunch of chapters which probably when you're reading through the Bible in a year you get to and you want to skip, because it's a whole bunch of stuff about the temple, and it's, what's all this about? Why is this in the Scriptures? And you get all the, it's quite interesting stuff if you study it, but the Son of Man is taken, a man, chapter 47, verse 1. "The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee-deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, 'Son of man, do you see this?' Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There'll be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Eglaim. There'll be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea, but the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They'll be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." Let's just pray. Father, we have this audacious belief that this is your living, active, dynamic word. It's not just words of God, it is the living word of God. And we have this incredible belief that when we gather, you presence yourself. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and inhabit your words of life so that we might leave this place different because you've spoken truth. Holy Spirit, come. Amen. I want to talk today about a choice or choices or moments of choice that every single one of us have. And I thought we'd just start with a bit of interaction. So I'm going to give you two choices, and I want you to respond to me with what your preferred choice is. And I want you to do it loudly, and I want you to do it boldly. I don't want any of this sort of half-hearted, mealy-mouthed non-response, okay? You up for this? So, ready. PC or Mac?
PC.
I love that. Day or night? Pizza or curry?
Curry!
Well, thank you. Strictly Come Dancing or X Factor?
X Factor!
Yes! Awesome. Marmite or peanut butter? Yeah! Text or email? Coke or Diet Coke?
Coke!
Hearts or Hibs?
Celtic!
England or Scotland?
Scotland!
Excellent. That's got nothing to do with anything I'm going to say from now on. Apart from the fact that in every individual and in every generation, there's a choice. And in every church, in every generation, there is a choice. And in every choice, there is a moment. There was a moment for Rosa Parks to decide to sit on a bus. There was a moment when Martin Luther King decided to walk and stand. There was a moment when Obama decided to run and be elected. And there is a moment in every individual and every generation, there's a choice. And I have, and my church is really fed up of me saying this, I'm sure, but I have a fundamental belief that the moment is now. Perhaps the moment is always now. And the choice for us is to be a church that settles for or reaches out. A church that decides to go for the good ordinary, a church with good programs, good strategies, good leadership teams, or a church that sticks its head above the parapet and dreams the impossible. A church that speculates on the power and grace of the Holy Spirit of God and achieves the impossible. The choice mapped out for us a safe path to mediocrity or a risky path to life. We can do safe church or we can be church. We can settle for doing and being church in the way that generations after generations of us have settled for doing and being church. Or we can seize our God-given destiny and systematically and spontaneously live beyond ourselves and give ourselves away. The obsessive orientation of our lives to live for His glory, to embrace His kingdom, to reach the lost, and to bless the poor. I stood on Blackford Hill. How many of you have done that? A great, great view it is. I stood on Blackford Hill, and I began to ask the Lord to help me see things the way He sees things. And he said, open your eyes and say what you see. And I saw a city. I saw a city with an incredible spiritual heritage, a beautiful, beautiful, messed up city. I saw a city of creativity and the arts and business and spiritual devastation. I saw a city of spires and steeples, but I didn't see an awful lot of the kingdom of God. I saw a city of superficial affluence, but deep poverty, of dreams that had been suppressed, of hope that had been dumbed down, a heritage of religion and a reality of God missingness. But I also saw a community, a people who refused to play at church, a people who were growing and a people who were rising, a people who were devoted to God, to knowing God, a people who were obsessed with following Jesus, a people who wanted to be full, to overflowing, effervescently with the Holy Spirit of God. I saw a community that delighted God because their intimacy with God was evident. Their worship was at the core of everything they did. They walked with God at his pace, which incidentally is about 3 miles an hour. It is, isn't it? It's not 100 miles an hour as you're trying to walk. It's probably about 3 miles an hour. That's the speed of love. That's the speed you walk. They didn't settle for honor. They pursued intimacy. I saw a community whose intimacy for God grew out of a passion for Jesus, that they wanted to be the body of Christ. They loved the grace of Jesus. They loved the sacrifice of Jesus. And every way you cut this community, they bled Jesus, because that was the DNA of who they were. I saw a people whose passion for Jesus resulted always exponentially in relevant mission activity wherever they went. I saw a people who were just desperate to be transformed from the inside out so that they might be transformation for the world that they encountered moment by moment, day by day. That's the community I saw. And I saw a city changed. A dead heritage became dynamic faith. Dark places became places full of light. And the kingdom of God pushed back the dominion of darkness. And I saw communities that stood together. And because of what they understood about God, because of what they saw in the city, they declared by what they did and by what they said that the demise in the church in Edinburgh stops now. And I saw spires become beacons of light. And I saw transformation happening. You see, I see a community that has a choice. I see a generation that has a choice. And I see a choice that has a moment. And because I see these things, I want to just spend a few moments, as well as I know how, probably be a little longer than a few moments, actually, technically, just taking a look at this passage of Scripture in Ezekiel 47. It's a passage of Scripture that's become very helpful and relevant and important for the church at Morningside. And it's a passage of Scripture that I knew the moment that I was invited to come speak that I had to unpack for you in the best way I could. Let's take a look and let's open our Bibles. What you've got here is an amazing picture of beauty and oddness. It's a bit weird, really. I mean, Jerusalem is the only major city of the ancient world without a river running through the heart of it. And Ezekiel sees a river. He sees a river flowing out of the temple, so obviously the river is supposed to be symbolic. I'm pretty sure that the river is symbolic of the life of God and the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God. And I think our minds are supposed to be cast back to the river in the Garden of Eden, which is the river of life, and they're supposed to be cast forward to Revelation 22 and the river of life that flows in the kingdom of God. And specifically, the river flows out of the south side. That could be significant. There was in the temple in Jerusalem a bronze pool, quite a large pool. It was kept there for water, for cleansing. It was known in Solomon's temple as the sea. And flowing out of purity and holiness and sacrifice and worship is this river of God, this river of life, this river of wholeness, this river of the Spirit, this river of the kingdom. And I think we're supposed to understand when we read this passage of Scripture that there is coming a time when this wholeness and this completeness and this life and this fruit and this healing will be all there is, because the kingdom is not opposed in any way, shape or form. And kingdom is all there is when Jesus wraps up this world. But this is a river we're supposed to walk in now and wade in now and swim in now and experience now. The kingdom is not yet, but the kingdom is here. And the kingdom is something that's supposed to be experienced right here and right now. Don't you long for more of God? Don't you long for more of His flow in your life? Don't you long for more of His healing, more of His power, more of His love, more of His justice, more of half people becoming whole people, more of dark systems pushed back and exposed for what they are? Don't you long for that? Well, look at this passage of Scripture. This river flows, here's a geography lesson, the river flows through the Arabah. Now that word means, it just means a geographical region of wilderness and desert or wastelands. But God shows this man, Ezekiel, that the river flows through the Jordan Valley from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. That's the Dead Sea. That's the sea that's so salty and so lifeless and so desolate that nothing can grow in that place. And what we're being shown is that the fullness of God comes into a broken world, into economic desert, into relational inequality, into moral devastation, into lives that are broken and shattered, into people who don't even could not even begin to love themselves, don't even like themselves, into emotional fracturing, into environmental abuse. The river of God is wanting to flow. So just a few thoughts about this river. If you're taking notes, I love it when people take notes. It makes me feel important. So just pretend for me, eh? Here we go, just a few thoughts. The flow of the river is out and not in. The flow of the river is out and not in. Guys, if you want to walk as individuals or as a church in step with the Spirit of God, well, the flow is out and not in. You know, many movements of the Spirit of God have followed an attractional strategy that says, come and be blessed. Come and be imparted. Impartation. Come and receive. And in essence, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think in essence, the Spirit of God in this day is reminding the body of Christ that the orientation of the flow is out. It always is. Go into all the world and preach and teach and make disciples. That's a pretty out phrase, isn't it? As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Sending's an out. And the problem is this. We've bought into a lie that we have to get it sorted before we go. We have. Certainly in the church I pastor, that we've got to get it. We can't possibly share with anybody else or love on other people until we actually love one another. And we've worked so hard at getting it right that getting it right has now become the goal. That's what it's all about now. We just get it right and we love one another and we care for one another. We can use biblical phrases to tell us that that's or justify that kind of position. But in essence, it's a lie. Our prayer will become more powerful when we pray and go. Our worship does not get sorted by sitting around singing songs, although music today was fantastic. We will find deeper expressions of worship as we go. Our teaching does not need sorted before we go. John chapter 10. They will come, they're talking about the sheep, they will come in and go out and find pasture. Not they will come in and get fat and hang around for a while. They'll come in and go out and find pasture. As we walk in the flow of this river, our teaching has to be less presentation and more explanation, because people are experiencing the kingdom of God and we've got to explain exactly what happened. Read Acts. That's what happens more often than not. Healing happens, miracles happen, people love, and they say, well, who did this? What is this all about? And that's what our teaching becomes. We claim that we've got to get our community sorted. No. We will begin to share life and love on one another when we face outwards and start caring for a world that needs caring for more than we ever will if we just look inwards. Because it will just come out, I'm stagnant river. Guys, the only strategy I can understand from the Scriptures is this, not come and see. Not really. Not we'll put on good events and we'll expect people to somehow, by osmosis, get that they've got to come to us. Well, not hit and run. We'll find a poor part of the city and we'll go and present the gospel somehow. No. But go and dwell. Go and be. Incarnate. Love out loud. If the kingdom of God. The orientations of our small groups, out. We teach because we want to grow, because we want to go. We love because we want to share that love. It's interesting, maybe slightly controversial, for the river gets fuller and the life gets more abundant the further away from the temple it gets. Guys, this is not church. This is fantastic expression of church, but this is not church. Everything you do is church. Everything you are is church. Wherever you go is church. And I say this every week at Morningside, but I suspect that one inch bubbling below the surface is an understanding that actually this is church, and he's wrong. Because this is wonderful, but it's only wonderful in that it enables that. If it stops enabling that, we may as well quit, sell our buildings, and go do something else. But it can and must enable that. So the flow of the river is out and not in. Guys, the blessing of the river is all. Look at verse 9. Wherever the river goes, there will be life. There are trees and living creatures and fresh water. I don't really want to say too much here, but this. The river is not just personal evangelism. It is, but it's not just that. See, God does want to save me, and he wants to save my mates as well. We must forget that at our peril. People that he wants grafted into the vine. It's not just, though, personal evangelism. It's not even just radical mission. See, God does want to save me and my mates and everyone else around us. He wants for us to support systemic good. He wants us to stand against systemic evil. He wants the strongholds in this nation to be broken. He wants to bring about his kingdom of love and justice. Of course he does. But it's not even just that. This river is what I might call cosmic transformation. It's everything. All things find their fullness in Christ. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And the goal is all things, the transformation of everything. When Jesus came, he said, "For God so loved the world," which translated is cosmos. It's everything, all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe transformed and find their being and find their wholeness in Christ. So if you and I are going to swim in the river of God, we've got to be concerned not just for ourselves and our spirituality. We've got to be concerned for our friends and their spirituality. We've got to be concerned for the systems in this city and what God wants. We've also got to be concerned about the environment and the trees and the streams and the rivers. Because that's what God's into. God's into this world. He loves it. His main orientation towards the world is pleasure. He loves it. And so we've got to be wading and swimming in the river of God. The blessing of the river is all. The effect of the river is holistic. Verse 12. I love this. The fruit of the trees feeds the hungry and heals the sick. Isn't that a good mixture? Feeds the hungry, heals the sick. Forgive me, but we got to get rid of our petty, simplistic divisions. Justice or miracles? Who said? Social gospel or charismatic rave up? Who said? Evangelical commitment to the word of God or an obsessive passion for the spirit of God? Who said? Who told us that we have to divide these things? In the kingdom flow of God, we pray for the sick and we bless the poor. We live for the lost and we care for those who have nothing. We preach the gospel, we call to repentance, we visit the prisoners, we stand up for the rights of the oppressed. We speak out against injustice, we say this should not be, and we become a voice for those who have no voice. We say we need to end poverty now and we deal with it. We look for every available opportunity to share Jesus with our neighbors. We encourage beauty, we support the arts, we create culture, we don't just follow culture, we are at the leading edge of culture, we shun darkness, and we become a church that is evangelistic, evangelical, charismatic, postmodern, contemplative, radical, traditional, word and spirit, biblical teaching, activists, and none of these labels mean anything anymore. because it's a piece of nonsense. Excuse my French. But the church which is spirit-flowing and word-centric is the church that I see. And here's the thing. That church is in revival mode right now. That church has got to stop looking for and longing for a revival that they see happened in the past and start accepting that God is bringing revival right here and right now, and we're already in the river. It's not a river that's going to come. It won't look like Lewis or Wales or New England. It's not going to look like that because God's doing his thing in his way. But we may only be ankle deep, but we're in the river. See, every time you counsel someone who's got a debt issue and they find out something about this Jesus, you're in the river. Every single time on an Alpha course you share Jesus, you're in the river. Every time you care for a neighbor and express the love of God, you're in the river. Every single time we baptize, but we love using your building. It's fantastic. Every single time we baptize, we're in the river. Well, they're in the river, technically. We're in the river. Every single time we see someone who didn't have faith come to faith, we're in the river. Every single time we see a workplace transformed because God's people are there, we are in the river of God. Guys, the life in the river is diverse, but there's one river. The life of the river is diverse, but there's one river. This verse 10, this is not a one-size-fits-all river. This move of God is not a middle class thing. It's not a nice addition to life thing. It's everything. There are fish of every kind. The river we swim in will see rich fish and poor fish. And when God gets hold of their hearts, they'll just become steward fish. So neither of them are rich or poor anymore. We'll see old fish and young fish. And you know, in a countercultural way, what will happen is old fish will begin to love on young fish, and young fish will begin to love on older fish. And what will happen is those kind of distinctions will become labels we don't even worry about anymore, but together we're growing in the kingdom life. This river we swim in will see every kind of personality encouraged. We're doing a series at Morningside at the moment based on a guy called Gary Thomas's Sacred Pathways. I don't know if you've come across that, but it's predicated on the understanding that there is one way to Christ. One way to Christ. But there are so many different expressions of how you grow in your faith. And understanding that I have suffocated people because it's all been communicated through my personality and my style, which is enthusiastic and probably not that traditional. But those who are traditional in our congregation find that really difficult because, do you understand what I'm saying? In this river, it's that God is embracing a whole pile of different fish and a whole pile of different styles. And there is one river. There are different expressions of worship, but one river. If I might say, there is only one church in Edinburgh. There are wonderfully different expressions of that church, and some of which I agree more with and others I don't agree that much with. But we've got to get over ourselves with our petty jealousies and our competitions and our comparisons and our fears and our obsession with numbers and who's going where and who's not going where and who's got the students and who hasn't got the students and whether the graph is doing this or doing this. Or, you know, I speak to myself as much as anybody else. We need to become the cheer section for every church that loves Jesus in the city of Edinburgh. We'd be saying, come on, way to go. We can be British about it as well, but we should, come on. Do you know, I didn't intend to say this, but there was a blog written recently about Edinburgh churches and football teams. Did you come across this? No, it wasn't a very helpful blog. It said, if Edinburgh churches were Premiership football teams, who would they be? And I can't remember who you guys were, but we were Chelsea, apparently. And I was the special one. Okay, which is just, you know, it was funny. The whole thing was very funny, but actually, at heart, deeply offensive. Because it basically said that we're all in competition with one another. And, you know, I'm not particularly technical. A whole bunch of guys in the church trying to encourage me to write a blog, but the reality is this. If we were to write a blog, the first thing that I would want to say is 10 reasons why I love Charlotte Chapel, 15 reasons why Carrubbers is awesome, 24 reasons why CCE is magnificent, and you should go there, because in reality, we would not be able to be who we are without you being who you are. And the expression of kingdom life is diverse, but there is one church, and we've got to get over ourselves with this kind of competition. I'll come to the end in a moment or two. The danger is this. You don't see it. You don't see what's happening all around you. Verse 6. Son of man, do you see this? Do you see this? Do you see what God is doing? Do you see what God wants to do? Do you see what God's plan is? Do you see this river? Can you swim in it? Because you can't swim in it until you see it. See, the problem is we become myopic. We're focused on our little thing. And it's to do with our experience, or it's to do with our tradition, or it's to do with our nostalgia, and we just can't, and before long, we just become the old water at the side, the stagnant, and it's only useful for salt. Do you see this? Do you see what God is doing? Do you see what God wants to do in this city? The river flows from where? It flows out of worship. It flows out of holiness. It flows out of sacrifice. It flows out of priesthood. It flows out of men and women and communities that are willing to lay their life on the altar and give it away. It flows out of a people who will pursue God with everything they have. It flows out of a people who will say, we will position ourselves as priests to stand in the gap between humanity and God, and God and humanity, and that is where we will stand. It flows out of that kind of commitment. Let me make this really personal. You have a choice. You have a choice as individuals and as a community to go deeper. To paddle, to wade, to swim. What are you going to trust in? What are you going to live for? How are you going to see this? How deep are you going to go? How much difference are you going to make? What legacy are you going to leave for the next generation who comes up behind? Is it going to continue to be a legacy of competition? Is it going to continue to be a legacy of spiritual desolation? Do you want to live in the flow? And the choice is constantly before us. You see, Jesus never said, as far as it is possible for you, live in as much comfort as you can. Did he? Jesus never said, as far as it's possible for you, buy as much stuff as you can get hold of and as many flat screens as you can get in your house. Jesus never said, as far as it's possible for you, inoculate yourself against pain and make sure that your family are secure. Invest a little to make sure that at the end of the day you're going to be okay. He never said that. But he did say, go. In fact, he said it repeatedly in a whole number of different ways. He did say, live to feed the hungry. He did say, you are the salt of the earth. Without you, the earth has no flavor. He did say, you are the light of the world. Without you, darkness has its way. Because you bring the light of Christ. He did say, if you've got two coats, I've got seven. Give one away. He did say, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his magnificent light. Now live such good lives among the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, on the day the Father visits, they might be found in him. And the choice is constantly before us. This is a dynamic thing. Let's not get heavy anymore. Here's the encouraging thing. This is a mighty transforming river, but it starts with a trickle. Does just trickles up under the altar. It starts with one surrendered life and then gets spread to another. It starts with one of these small groups that will say, the obsessive orientation of our small group will be for those who don't yet belong to our small group. And that doesn't mean we want some more girls. I love that. That was the greatest advert ever. Hi. We're two pretty attractive guys who would like some girls. Sorry. But it starts in the small group. You say, look, you know, we cannot just describe our small group about the fact that we have good food, or we can't just describe our small group about the fact that we study this or we're into that. We describe our small group as we are predicated, we are based around a mission. And we believe we exist for this. It starts with a church that says, we're going to be a beacon and not a spire. We're going to be a beacon and not a spire. Well, you know, our desire is to spark other beacons. We're willing to stop fighting around stuff. In every generation, there is a choice. And in every choice, there is a moment. Let's pray. Father. Father, once again, I pray a wheat and chaff prayer. That which was fleshy and of the preacher would you blow away. But that which was very much of your spirit for us as individuals in the church, would you sink deep into our DNA that we can do nothing more than respond to your word? Would you transform us that we might be transformation for everybody else? Would you clean us out? We want to be the holy worshippers, the sacrificial priests, from where the river flows. And we're not content anymore to be ankle deep. We want to swim. Father, we love the fact that according to our personality, according to our stage of life, according to the person that you made us, you want us to swim, not like anybody else, just like us. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you minister to dry hearts and lives? To small groups that have lost the focus. To all of us who need a challenge. And have your way with us. Amen. Can I just invite you, if God has been speaking to you around these things, it's something we do occasionally at Morningside. If God has been speaking to you and saying, look, you're doing all right, but there's some stuff I need you to address in your life. If you would stand, symbolic of the fact that you want to swim in this river, you really want to swim in this river, you want to swim in the river of God, would you just stand with me? If that's something you want to do, say, God, I'm serious about this. I don't want to paddle anymore. I want to swim. I want to be your child. I want to recognize this is for me. This is for us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we're serious about you. We're serious about your kingdom. We really don't understand a whole lot of stuff, but what we do understand, we want to put into practice. We want to live for you and for your purposes. Yes. Father, would you change our thinking where we need to change our thinking? Would you soften our hearts where our hearts need softening? Would you encourage us where we need encouraging? Son of man, do you see this? Do you see this? We're standing for your glory and for the transformation of this city. Yes, Father. Yeah. Amen. I wonder if the band would come and join me and we'd just spend some time worshiping God. If you would appreciate someone to pray with you around these things, then I think the prayer ministry team will be to my right and to your left. We're just going to spend some time worshiping God and asking him to continue to do what he's doing amongst us. The river might flow and we might swim in it.